My guest at this time is Sandra Cano. She's better known to many people as Mary Doe in the famed Doe v. Bolton decision, which came down on January 22, 1973. It's the companion decision to the more famous Roe v. Wade decision that came down the same day and essentially legalized abortion in this country. The 22nd is the 40th anniversary of both of those decisions, and most estimates now say that since that time, 55 million unborn children never took their first breath. And Sandra is with us now to talk about her story and involved in that case and where she is now in this abortion debate. And Sandra, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's start with how you got involved in this lawsuit. From what I've read, you were about 9 weeks pregnant. How did that pregnancy turn into this lawsuit?
I had three children. One I had given up for adoption, my third child. The other two that I had, they were placed in foster care through no fault of my own. It's through a family matter. And my goal was to get my children home. All I ever wanted was my children. But life wasn't very good to me back then. It was unstable. I'd had no guidance. I had no leadership. Basically, I did the best I could with what I knew how to do. I was in a very unhappy marriage with a very bad person. But when you're young, he was my first love and only love. And I really thought, well, that's a lifetime commitment. You don't have another choice. You're married, and I believe that you stayed forever. So when my children got in foster care, I'd had enough of him. He was in and out of jail at different periods of the marriage. He didn't provide, didn't take care of me. And when you're not very knowledgeable and you don't know how to care for yourself very much, I was dependent on others and trusted this one or that one. I went to the Atlanta Legal Aid. I asked, I said, I have no money. I said, I need an attorney. I said, I want my children out of foster care, and I want a divorce from my husband. By this time, I had had enough. There was no going back. He was never going to change. And I had to make some strong decisions, and one of those was to break free from him, and that's what I was wanting to do. Little did I know going to the legal aid was going to result in me being a plaintiff in abortion, which is something I've never been for, I've always been against, never sought an abortion, never sought to be a plaintiff in this case. And this case, I was in the dark about it for a long, long time. I think the public knows more about the case than I do. I was never a participant. I was never, in my mind, told, you're going to be a plaintiff for an abortion.
So how far along was this case by the time you realized these attorneys were using you as their argument?
I really can't say on that part because at some point, my daughter was born in 70, November of 70, and I call her the Supreme Court baby, and I gave her up. I just stayed quietly. No one knew anything, and I didn't know anything. And then in 73, when they said that I was in my mother's bedroom, her and my stepfather, they were excited. You won, you won. And I'm thinking, what have I won? And I carried the burden for a long, long time of thinking I was the one, because of me, that abortion was created. And it was something that was not a very pretty picture to have to live with. And the weight was on my shoulders was real tremendous. And it was after that when they decided that the decision come down, I wasn't understanding all of it. I went searching. I went to the courts. I wrote letters. And people looked at me like, this lady, either she's not dealing with a full deck, or what's going on with her? She's in this case. I thought I was Jane Doe. I didn't know it was Mary Doe. So one day, I went to the Supreme Court, and I said, I want to get my records. And she said, your records at the federal archives. I said, I'm involved in abortion. I don't know what name. I don't know the extent. So the lady sat me down, And a little small, to me, it reminded me of a computer, which I'd never been in front of anything like that in my lifetime. It was a microfiche. And I said, ma'am, I said, could you help me? I don't know how to use this. And she told me, and I kept going down and down, and I was seeing the does. I didn't see Jane Doe at all. All I saw was Mary Doe. So I said, okay, this is what I need to search for. And I went up there, and I says, I'm Mary Doe. And I says, I'd like to get my records and look at them. How would I do that? She looked at me very strangely. She said, honey, these records at the Federal Archives Building. I went out there to the Federal Archives Building, and when I went in out there, I told them I want to get these records and look at them. And so the lady brought me a big old thick book, and I sat down. I was looking through it. There was an envelope. It said identity of Mary Doe. I'm thinking, okay, this is what I need. So I took the envelope, and I was fixing to open it. That woman come and really quickly stopped me. She said, honey, oh, no, 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 you can't open this. I could have went to jail, federal prison, for opening something that supposedly was mine. I'm thinking, if I had my record sealed and this is me, then why can't I open it? I didn't understand all that. And she said, you have to go to the court and file a petition, have your records unsealed. I went to the Supreme Court in Georgia, and I told him I wanted to do a petition. I wanted to open my records. And she said, well, honey, you need an attorney. I said, but I don't have any money to get an attorney. I said, could you just show me how I need to maybe write it? So she took another petition. She covered the names and so forth and showed me how it was laid out. I said, well, do you have a piece of paper and you have a pen? She looked really like, I don't know if she thought I was dangerous or had lost it or what, but she went ahead and she gave me the paper and she gave me the pen. I sat there and I wrote out what I could remember from what she'd showed me, that I wanted to have my records unsealed, and I put my real name down there. About a week or two later, I got a phone call, and the judge at the time was Judge Forrester, and he said, this is off the records. He said, honey, do you have an attorney? I said, no, I don't have money for one. That's why I did this. He says, well, I would advise getting you an attorney. And I didn't understand that, so I had talked to a really great lawyer, Wendell Byrd. He went with me, and we'd filed a petition and so forth. And the day that we walked into the office, Wendell went with me, and I showed my license, and I told him my real name and proved my identity. And Margie Pitts-Hames, the attorney that was representing me at the time, I'd always thought she was a friend because she seemed like she was wanting to help me. As it turned out, her and two other gentlemen were sitting at the other end of the table, and I don't know who they were. And when Judge Forrester took and he read the thing, he says, yes, Sandra Cano is Mary Doe. Margie was very upset. On the way home, I got a call from her daughter, who told me, why did I want to destroy her mother's life? And it wasn't that I was wanting to destroy her mother's life. There was a wrong done here, terrible wrong. My name had been used in something, and I was digging and trying to get the results to prove to the world I don't believe in abortion. It's wrong. And so that was the first beginning, and it just, as I dug, more and more stuff come out. Even today, there's things that still come out that I'm not aware of. But I want the world to know Sandra Cano is not Mary Doe, other than it's my name is there. It's not my beliefs, my wants. I've never believed in abortion, never sought an abortion. I've always been pro-life, and I'll be pro-life till I die.
Even though you were used in the way that you were, and you didn't even realize you were a part of that lawsuit for a long time, do you feel like, because of the connection you have to the case, that you have a special role in the pro-life movement?
I feel like, as a human being, I have a very strong place because I have a voice, and my voice needs to be heard. The story needs to be got out about the lies, fraud, and deceit behind this. And I want people to know abortion is wrong. It's so terribly wrong. How can we take and play God, and how can we take the life of an unborn child because it's not convenient? We made a mistake. The timing wasn't right. In other words, the baby has to pay the price for the sins of the mother and the father. That's not right. That baby is entitled to life as each and every one of us are. And no decision should have to even be thought about. You're expecting, the baby has been conceived. You have no more rights. That baby has a right to life. And if you don't feel that you can properly care for that child and love it or whatever, you know, there's thousands of people out there that can't have a child. They're not blessed with a child that would love to have that child. Give that child a life and then let another family enjoy that child if you feel like that's not what you want to do. But abortion is so terribly wrong, and it's got to be stopped.
Last question before we let you go. It's been 40 years, obviously, today since that decision. Anything in particular that you're reflecting on today?
Well, we've had 40 years of bloodshed of the innocent that shouldn't have never been allowed to happen. And we all need to repent and fall down on our knees, whether we had a part of this or not. It's been allowed to happen. This I'm really standing strong on. This is the year of the curse of abortion to be broken. God's not been pleased with us. He's allowed us our own free will. And I know he's so sad that some of our hearts just went the wrong way. But now, let's don't go into the 41st year with abortion. We've got to stop it and give life to the unborn, give life to every living thing. We don't have that right to make that call.
Sandra, I know it's difficult to talk about, but we thank you very much for being with us and making sure everyone does know your story, particularly on this important anniversary.
Thank you so much for having me, and bless you.
Bless you, ma'am. Sandra Cano, known as Mary Doe in the Doe v. Bolton decision, the companion decision to Roe v. Wade that was issued 40 years ago on January 22nd, 1973. As you just heard, she didn't even know she was the plaintiff in that case for the longest time, and had to work very hard to identify herself as the plaintiff and then make it clear that she was not supportive of that case at all. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.